Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? Up, that's pause. Let me see. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. And like y'all told y'all yesterday, this is going to be like nightly news now. When I think that I won't have anything to talk about, next thing you know, people sending me a bunch of things. My news feed is going crazy. The internet is going crazy. So I just want to be on top of the information that I give the members, that I give people of the community, so we can have an unbiased opinion, a thorough, a more real opinion, not scripted. We go say whatever we want to say here. And we take calls. We like to hear from the people. As you can see, the phone lines are open tonight. Call in live, 563-999-3714. Also, please make sure to share out the live videos. Share out the live videos is very important. And for people who really support us, you see right there, you could donate via Cash App. That's $ Progressive Action 100. Send us likes. Likes are free. Likes are free of charge. Send us some likes. Share out the videos, and we're going to keep this heat coming. As you can see, the title of today's show is Diddy in More Trouble. We're going to discuss that. EMT's pay parity. We're going to discuss that, and we're going to discuss the slain police officer that got killed in Far Rockaway, Officer Jonathan Diller. We're actually going to play a video that's circulating around the internet, leading up to his final moments. It's not graphic, but it's important for us to see and important for us to discuss, and we're going to take it from there. So the way that I like to start off the show is that promotion-wise, we are not safe riding the MTA. Now, let's be clear. We are not safe in New York City, period. But we're having an assault and safety rally on Wednesday, May 1st at 12 p.m. at 2 Broadway. That's in front of MTA headquarters. We are inviting strap hangers. We are inviting, of course, workers, MTA workers, whatever workers may take the subway that don't feel safe. We are inviting members of the community, clergy, everybody. Make sure y'all come out to that. The RSVP link for this rally is in the description of this video. Just let us know if you're coming or not so we can keep it pushing. So, look, I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but I believe, this is my belief, this is my opinion, and I'm basing my opinion off of contracts, prior contracts with the MTA, and this particular artwork that they have on 14th Street and 8th Avenue in Manhattan. Right now, I have accused the MTA of being racist, right? Contractually, I'm going to explain this to you guys real quick. Cleaners, out of all the titles in New York City Transit, cleaners are the only title that start at an inferior wage progression than any other title in New York City Transit. The only title, right? Now, what could that be? Now, cleaners start at 60%. Everyone else start at 70% and maintain the title start at 85%. Why? What's so special about cleaners that they start at 60% of their top pay and wage progression? Well, prior, back in the day, we're talking about the 60s, 50s, and I think even the 70s, black people were only allowed to be cleaners working for the MTA. They couldn't be motormen. They couldn't be bus operators. They couldn't be anything but cleaners and porters. That's why I point to that. Now, this next piece of evidence I have exposed, and this is going to probably blow some people's minds out of the water, especially when I explain the history of what I'm talking about, right? So this piece of artwork I'm putting on the screen right now, this is a statue on 14th Street on the A line, 14th Street and 8th Avenue. Did you know that they used to feed alligators our black babies, right? Now, this artwork, if you want to call it that, is down, is in the transit system. And if you even Google alligators being fed to babies, black babies being fed to alligators, this is a fact, right? Now, this would not happen with any other group of people besides black people. If anything was any kind of semblance to other groups, other protected groups, or groups that run things, you won't see an inkling of a piece of harmful artwork nowhere in the system, even if it's just a thought or insinuated any of that. So, yeah, I have my reasons. I have my beliefs as to why this artwork is down there, and it's because they don't respect or acknowledge black harm, the black Holocaust. They don't do any of that. This is the MTA for you. And I would love for them to answer, why is that artwork in the system? Why is that harmful, hateful artwork in the system? Maybe we need to start a petition and have a rally at that statue to have our voices amplified and heard, right? Now, I normally don't cover entertainment on the show, but I have to cover this. We're going to get into what's going on with Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Sean Combs, Brother Love, whatever you want to call him, right? Now, this news came out today where court docs claim Young Miami transported pink drugs from Florida to Virginia for Diddy, right? Now, this is exactly what it says. I got this from Baller Alert. And it says, court docs claim Young Miami transported pink drugs from Florida to Virginia for Diddy. Things have been heating up for the ex-revolt leader since he was sued in November 2023 by his ex-girlfriend, singer Cassie, for the R-word, S-trafficking, and other shocking offenses. However, his legal issues have taken an even more disturbing turn. And this week, an amended lawsuit has pointed a finger directly at the City Girl star for allegedly moving around narcotics for the disgraced Bad Boy founder. According to the court documents obtained by XXL, producer Rodney Elrod Jones accused Diddy of consuming pink drugs. This is reportedly a mixture of ecstasy and coke. Actually a coke, which is also known as Tucci. I never heard of that term before. The amended lawsuit claims that on at least one occasion, Miami, whose real name is Carisha Brown Lee, bought pink coke to Diddy. Plaintiff and the Combs Rico Enterprise were rehearsing for something in the Water Festival in Virginia. Plaintiff Jones personally witnessed Mr. Combs do a few lines of coke in his dressing room. Defendant Sean Combs wanted Tucci, but Brendan forgot it. So defendant Kristen Corum called Young Miami, who then boarded on a private jet from Miami, the lawsuit stated. Brendan refers to Diddy, alleged drug mule, well, refers to Diddy's alleged drug mule, Brendan Paul, who is accused of frequently supplying the I Need a Girl rapper with substance of his choice. Paul was arrested on Monday at Opa-locka Airport after federal investigators intercepted Diddy's plane. To the rest, log into BallerAlert.com. But let's be honest, who cares if Diddy is using cocaine? He's a grown man. Whatever he wants to do, he could do it. I'm more concerned of these kids using or drinking lean and using all these drugs that's destroying their brain. I'm more concerned about that, right? But one thing that I do not like about this entire Diddy situation is people, specifically speaking, black people are being eager to tear Diddy down. They are eager to tear Diddy down, and it makes absolutely no sense as to why, besides jealousy, hate, and envy. What would be the reason for them to tear Diddy down? And what kills me is that you got all of these old workers that used to work for Diddy back in, you know, the 20s, late 90s, and things of that nature, right? Why are they now wanting to come forward with the truth? Like, that absolutely makes no sense to me. Why now are they coming forward with the truth? Right? They seen these things before situations hit the fan, right? But now everybody is ganging up on Diddy. You know, want to kick him while he's down. And don't confuse this with me condoning anything that he's accused of. I'm just talking about the go-along, get-along game, because that's what these people are. Where were they voices before they was having money issues? Where was they voice before when Diddy was doing favors for them and then the favors stopped? Now they have a problem. Where are they voices? Where was they voices? And I'm not going to name names of the characters who's doing this, but they all over the internet. Oh, Diddy did this. I believe Diddy was made Biggie come out here, and that's why Biggie got killed. Yeah, I've seen Diddy have fights with this perp, with this woman. And where was your voice then? Oh, I get it. I get it. The money was coming in. You still had access to Diddy. You still was able to benefit by using his name or be associated with his name or his company. But you're just as guilty as you guys are claiming Diddy is, because y'all didn't blow the whistle when it happened. And I think that a lot of men forgot about this thing called integrity. Integrity does not exist anymore. Integrity, it just doesn't exist anymore. And I don't agree with them, you know, kicking Diddy while he's down, specifically black people. What are you getting out of it? What are you getting out of that? And I want to play this video from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Check it out. Farrakhan said it best. What's really going on? You got to be careful when you're doing this to people, because you never know what to expect when it's your turn. You never know what to expect when it's your turn. And he's right. Stop trying to bring a man down because you're down. That's enough Diddy news right now. I want to get to this story about EMT parody, right? So just recently, Adams, and this came out in the Chief today, Adams Kavanaugh expressed support for EMS parity pay. Actually, a few years ago, I had went to an EMS rally and stood with them to make sure that they get the parity that they deserve. So, you know, that was good. And they do deserve parity. Now, this is what is said about the article. When Eric Adams was running in the Democratic Party primary for mayor in 2021, he received the endorsement of District Council 37's Local 2507, which represents the FDNY, EMTs, paramedics, and fire protection inspectors. Adams, who as a retired NYPD captain, is a former first responder himself, responded by pledging to address the decades-long disparity and salaries between those in EMS and other first responders. Our EMTs, paramedics, and fire inspectors deserve our city's thanks and respect, but for years they have been shamefully denied basic pay equity, the mayor in waiting said in response to the endorsement. As mayor, I would not stand for discrimination against workers, especially not the women and men who have put their lives at risk to save our lives day after day. Now, the mayor's right about that. The mayor is 100% right about that. I don't understand why the pay disparity is so much, you know, between EMS workers and first responders. You know, EMS workers play a very vital role in our community, in our lives, right? Play a very vital role. And what I would like to see is that this conversation expand to transit workers, because we have a pay disparity also. When you look at the work that we do between and we work for the same agencies. You have Metro North, you have Long Island Railroad, you have New York City Transit. There's pay disparities within those three different agencies, even though a lot of our jobs overlap, right? Some got more dangers than others. Some do more duties than others. But for the most part, we overlap. Why is there like a $10 difference between New York City Transit and Metro North and Long Island Railroad? Metro North and Long Island Railroad, they have pay parity. We don't have pay parity as New York City Transit. Now, we could draw our inferences as to why, in which I have done plenty of times. But we need to fight for pay parity all throughout this place. And transit workers, we need to push for that, right? This next set of news that I would like to get into, and trust me, I got this video that I want you guys to see. I want to have a special conversation regarding Officer Dilla. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. But definitely, I'm letting y'all know the phone lines are open, calling live, 563-999-3714, right? But this next topic I want to discuss is this, right? New York City MTA employee arrested after skipping fare. Now, I would like to have more clarity on this because I don't get it, right? So an on-duty New York City MTA employee was apprehended, as if he was on the run, was apprehended by authorities on March 26th in an incident that led to several charges against him. The arrest occurred within the jurisdiction of the 104th Precinct. At 3:03 p.m., 35-year-old Richard Lewis was taken into custody, facing allegations that highlight the complexities of law enforcement's interaction with city employees. Lewis is charged with theft of services for allegedly avoiding payment for transportation services, obstructing government administration, and resisting arrest. The details surrounding the incident and the factors leading up to the arrest have yet to be disclosed. This case has caught the attention of both the public and officials, raising questions about the conduct of city employees while on duty. I mean, I'm more concerned about the conduct of the police officers, right? That's what I'm concerned about, because this was the first day that the NYPD said that they was going to send out those 800 officers to monitor the turnstiles, right? Now, in another news report, there was a blurb in there that basically said that the police officers tried to stop the MTA employee. The MTA employee knocked down his hand. I want to wait till all the facts come out regarding that. But I don't see why a MTA employee would be confrontational to a cop and smack down a cop hand regarding situations like this. I honestly believe that this is it. The police officers' emotions are high right now, rightfully so. They just had a coworker get killed on the job less than 24 hours prior to that incident. So I can understand, you know, the situations with that. I just don't see like what the problem, like why would that employee actually do that, right? And this could be, and like I was saying, this could be in retaliation for us exposing that they sleep in our break rooms. It could possibly be that. But one thing for sure is that they said that the employee identified himself as an MTA employee after he was arrested, right? At what point do we use our judgment? Like, if the police was really supportive of us and there was a misunderstanding between the police officer and the MTA worker, and we both city workers and we both, you know, have pensions we have to protect and basically do the right thing, why would we throw another city worker up under the bus like that? Right? Especially after he identified himself. I want to see, you know, police officers have body cams. I want to see what the body cam says as far as his hand getting smacked down. And I would like for the union to make a statement regarding the situation, because we cannot forget, just the other day, we had Chief Kemper of Transit, and we had the Local 100 president, Richard Davis. They met recently, right? Now it says President Richard Davis and his team had the pleasure to meet, Kempler had the pleasure to meet with Richard Davis and his team today. We had a great productive conversation, all focused on increasing public safety of those depend on the transit system, both MTA employees and our riders. How can we have a productive conversation and then we go down a rabbit hole of an employee getting arrested? Like, it makes absolutely no sense. Now, before I get into the video that shows Officer Diller's final moments, I want to take a phone call. But let's see who this caller is. Caller 9999. You now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Tremel, it's your boy from Signals.
What's going on? What's on your mind? I want to remind all the callers. Let's try to keep it to 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I want to get through these callers. And if I decide to let it go past 2 minutes, I would decide that. But let's try to keep it centered on what the topic is and what we're talking about here.
Okay, cool. I'm a little bit off topic, but it's been on my mind lately. I want to ask you, since you've been doing a lot of shows lately, which I also want to thank you for, you've been pumping out a lot of content. Would you consider doing interviews for people that are running for the union president position and having giving us an ability to call in and ask questions about what their platform is? I mean, I understand, like you mentioned several times, that you're not running. So maybe, you know, you could provide that publicity. I don't know if that's something you ever considered, but I just want to call and ask.
All right, that's a good question. So you sound kind of muffled, so I'm going to reiterate what you said. Well, he said that he wants to know will I interview presidential candidates on his platform. I'm going to say no, for the simple fact that I'm still running. I'm not running under a president, or at least not yet, right? And whoever they got to run against me is going to affect me, so I'm not going to give them a platform. I have the biggest platform in transit, without a doubt, hands down. I'm not going to give them a platform to shoot myself in the foot. I think that if they are running for president, right, they should have been putting in the work prior to announcing running for president. They should have been building their platform. They should get the people who support them, because I'm going to listen to what they have to offer also, right? I think that I'm not going to allow them to use this platform because I am running in this election also, or I'm supporting people who's running in this election that's not supporting these parties. So I don't have no plans on interviewing them, but I'm not 100% against it either. I just have to figure out a way, because everybody wants attention. Everybody think they qualify for the job. What I think that they should do is that I think that they should, the presidential candidates should set up a debate between each other to decide what they go do. I would be interested in that. I would definitely host a debate session between the presidential candidates on topics probably sometime down the line. But right now I'm not too interested in it.
I got you. Yeah, if you ever do that, maybe, you know, send out a blast or something so we could submit questions that you could ask, if, you know, if you find those questions to be worthy or anything like that.
Yeah,
but
you know what?
I will
work with you on that. If I decide to do that, me and you will have a conversation and we'll put it together.
Okay, cool. Sounds great. Thank you for taking the call, and thanks for
And you have the petition going, right?
Yeah, man. So good news on that, actually. It looks like Robert Jackson co-sponsored that bill. So he's on board.
All right. So
now
let me tell you what I would be interested in. I would be interested in doing a show with you to discuss the petition you got going on and the importance of it and why members should sign on. Let's do that.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks for calling in and giving me that question.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the time.
All right, thank you. So he has a petition going around. I shared it a couple of times. I'm going to invite him to the show so we can discuss what's going on. But let's get to Officer Dilla. First of all, condolences to his wife, to his son that's not even 1 year old yet, to his NYPD brothers and sisters, family and friends. Nobody comes to work to die. I don't care if you're a police officer. I don't care if you're a firefighter. I don't care if you're a correction officer, where those dangers actually exist every single day, and even with transit workers. Nobody comes to work to die, right? So definitely RIP to him. Now, this video that I'm about to play is not graphic, but it is very, very, very disturbing. And I just want to show you, it's all over the internet. I just want to give my audience a chance to see it, where we could really discuss it, where y'all could call in. Because I definitely want to hear what you guys think about the video. So make sure you call in 563-993-7174. And it's sad. You know, he was a young man. This city has all types of issues that's going unaddressed because we have our politicians, we have our lawmakers, we have different entities and agencies pointing fingers at each other instead of coming together and working on a real solution as to what's happening here. So let me play this video so you guys can see what I'm talking about. Let me get it real quick. Check it out. That was like, it was very disturbing to watch that for people who's just coming in to the chat. That was NYPD officer Jonathan Dilla's final moments. It showed when he got shot and, you know, all panic broke loose regarding that, you know, even in the midst of everything that was going on, those officers had a lot of composure. They was calm for the most part. The way that they handled that driver, I mean, I don't know if I would have been that gentle with the driver or like they just pulled him out the car like nothing was wrong, like it was an average traffic stop, even after Officer Dilla was shot and killed. You know, we heard Officer Dilla's screams. The officers, by looking at the video, it seemed like they was in shock. They didn't know what to do. What are you to do in a situation like that? What are you to do, right? They wasted no time. A car pulled up. They put him inside the unmarked car and rushed him to a hospital. I heard that the hospital that they rushed him to was further away. There was a closer hospital. But I guess the reason that they did that, and I think that they play these scenarios out in their head, like, hey, if one of us is ever shot, let's go to a trauma center. I think the hospital that they took him to was actually a trauma center. But Trust me when I tell you, nobody, not even police officers, come to work expecting that. I don't even think that the most racist, right, police officers come to work thinking that they're not going to make it home in one piece, right? But it happens. It happens, and it should not happen. It shows that this city is 100% out of control, and there's a major issue here. Now, I want to play this video saying what Eric Adams said regarding what was the problem with this situation. So check it out. Eric Adams made it clear that there's a recidivist problem, right? Now, that may be true. That may be true. But, all right, so what also was said was that the driver had dozens of, like 16 different arrests, and he was locked up for a gun in April 2023. But he wasn't the one who fired the shot. It possibly could have been his gun. I guess when we get more information regarding forensics and, you know, things of that nature. But at the end of the day, the passenger fired that shot that killed the officer. Right now, the driver is being charged with criminal possession of a weapon, and I believe that his bail is like $75,000 or something like that. Now, I don't know what was the reason why they were there. I heard that they was possibly looking to rob a place or rob somebody or something like that. I have no idea, but he could have been killed also. And those officers did show restraint regarding him, right? But there seems to be a recidivist issue in this city, right? It could, because we hear it all the time, but we only really hear it when addressing one person. And that's DA Alvin Bragg. And like I said on yesterday's show, if this would have happened, Manhattan, there would have been protests all throughout the city by NYPD. There would have been protests at Alvin Bragg home. There would have been numerous actions to show their disgust with Alvin Bragg by NYPD, by members of the community, by politicians. We would see numerous actions taken if this was Alvin Bragg. My question is why we don't have that same vitriol for Melinda Katz? Why is Alvin Bragg the punching bag of DAs, right? This is Melinda Katz. She is the Queens County District Attorney. An officer got killed in her county. These individuals that did this heinous crime have dozens of arrests between them, years in jail between them. How did this happen? We ask those questions when something happens in Alvin Bragg District. And let's not get it confused or twisted. I have absolutely no opinion on Alvin Bragg. No opinion. I don't know him. I never met him. I would love to interview him. But I have no opinion on Alvin Bragg. The only DA I have an opinion of in this city is Darcell Clark. That's the only DA I have an opinion of. But for some reason, Alvin Bragg is the punching bag of DAs in New York City, as if he is the DA for all five counties. But why isn't Melinda Katz being brought out to the carpet to say, this happened under your jurisdiction, under your leadership? How can a man get out of jail after having a gun less than a year ago. How does that happen? Even if she wasn't the DA, the former DA that was there, somebody's accountable for it. Someone is accountable for it. But the only DA that they would like to hold accountable is Alvin Bragg. When the true story is that we have a DA issue in New York City, period. I hear a lot of good things about Eric Gonzalez. He's about the only one, really. Right? But I'm quite sure that he has his issues also. But I don't understand how Melinda Katz is not getting that same vitriol that they give Alvin Bragg. It boggles my mind, and it's troubling. Now, one thing I want to say something, play something that the police said, because I want to point out, and I'm going to play the video again, so y'all hold tight. I'm going to play the video again so you guys could get a clear picture. But I want you guys to listen to this. Now, what he said there, I know people are like, why did he play it? You know, I'm just paying attention to the particulars of what's going on. I mean, even though it don't matter, because no matter what happened, Officer Dilla is not coming back, right? No matter what the situation is. But I just want to know what the facts are, because I've heard that, and we heard one of the NYPD executives say it there, that the car was parked in a bus stop. Now, I'm going to just play the video. I'm gonna play the video again right now, and I see the bus stop. Maybe you guys can zoom in on your phones. I see the bus stop. It don't look like they was in a bus stop, but since he mentioned it, I'm just paying attention to detail to see what's going on. But let's look at the video again. Now, if you look across the street, in that video, you would see a black car. The black car is actually inside the bus stop. The car that they stopped was not in the bus stop, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe a bus operator played it up, because I see the bus stop pole actually across the street. Maybe there's another pole. I don't know. But I just want to get all the facts and all the details, because everyone needs to learn from this. The NYPD, you know, I'm quite sure whenever there's a tragedy like this, they make adjustments. We know when transit workers, when things happen with transit workers, a bulletin come out immediately. But I just want to make sure that the facts are the facts. But no matter what the facts are, Officer Dilla did not deserve what happened to him at all. He did not deserve that. And you know, people talking about we have a recidivist problem in New York City. We also have a gun problem in New York City, and that's not being addressed, right? We have a gun problem in New York City, and this is the issue with guns in New York, right? The only people who's really carrying guns, see, law-abiding citizens are not carrying guns. Right, because we got to jump through all types of hoops just to get a firearm. They want you to provide all these references. You got to get fingerprinted. You got to go through an investigation. They want to look at your social media. You got to pay a fee to get the license. While the bad guys is out here not doing any of that and roaming around here with a firearm. Now, there needs to be a new course of action legislatively when it comes to an individual carrying a gun that's defaced and on their person. If you get caught with a gun that's defaced and on your person, there should be a mandatory minimum, right? We could argue what that minimum is, but there needs to be a greater consequence to balance the scales of people who get caught carrying a defaced firearm on their person. if you discharge a firearm recklessly, putting people at danger, killing people, there needs to be a mandatory minimum for that also. Right? Now, you have instances where people have guns and they use it strictly to protect themselves, even though the gun is not registered or it's illegal, and they kill people, right, to defend themselves. Those situations, like, we gotta have some type of, all right, yeah, this is good. This we can work with this, but we can't work with that. When you got these gang members out here, you know, carrying firearms and putting, you know, everybody at risk, killing kids, killing grandparents, killing mothers, killing fathers innocently, we got to do something about that. That's not cool. That's not cool at all. And the only way that we could deter those actions from happening is that we can't give no slaps on the wrist. We can't do that. Because these kids and these young adults are seeing these slaps on the wrist, and they are looking at it as a rites of passage. Getting locked up is a rites of passage for the black community, in which I don't understand. The black community will support their friend who did 10, 15, 20, 25 years in jail, throw them a party, give them money, give them clothes, show them the good life, but you won't give a person from your same community who went to college for 4 years and came back, or got their doctorates, got their masters, got a certificate in something, learned a trade. We don't celebrate the positive stuff. We celebrate all the antisocial BS that's happening. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's the music, maybe it's the movies. And I know the music plays a big role in it, because we have artists out here that want us to believe that they are living within their raps, right? Nobody, none of these artists is saying, you know what, I don't do this stuff. I don't do this stuff. I'm just rapping this because this is what I want to rap about, but I don't live this life, or I never lived this life. Yeah, my friends may have lived that life, but I don't live this life. I never sold drugs. I never shot a firearm. I never shot somebody. I never killed anybody. I never did any of that. Like, these artists want us to believe that that's the life that they live in. So how do these kids and these even adults who never had no real guidance growing up, how you think they internalize that? Because on the outside looking in, you got these rappers talking about this life that they claiming that they live in, and they being rewarded with it. You see the jewelry, you see the cars, you see the clothes, you see the women, you see the lifestyle, you see the trips, you see the respect, you see all of that. But nobody never say what the bad side is. And the bad side is that you got these kids that's trying to emulate what these rappers are doing and going out there doing that, thinking that they're going to get the bag or they're going to get the respect and all that other stuff. I was like that at one time also. And I had proper guidance growing up. It's just that the allure of the streets was just something that I gravitated to, because it was appealing. You seeing the fast life, you seeing the money, you seeing all that. I get that. But I also had somebody in my ear saying that, you know what, none of this stuff is real, man. None of this stuff is real. Not 1% of it is real. Right? And that's what we have to clear up as a community. Where are the rappers that tell these kids that this is not the life? You can't tell them that this is not the life, but you still continuing to rap about the stuff that's contributing to the black genocide in our communities. When I'm out in the street, I'm not worried about a police officer killing me, shooting me, or robbing me. I'm worried about somebody that looks just like me doing that. Because I know the dangers and the influence that a lot of these rappers hold over our kids, over people in our community, and these people would do anything to emulate that lifestyle. These rappers need to say what's real and what's not, and don't contradict yourself. Stand on business. Stand. If y'all know my history, I have friends that's platinum rappers. I have many of friends who's in the industry. I know they life. I know what it really is. I know. And it's not what they talk about in this music is not how they live their life. You have these rappers that's going back home to mansions. They have money for security. They not going in the hood. They not going in the trenches. They not going to sit on the project benches for hours at a time to kick it with you. They not doing that. They rapping about it. You're going out there doing that. You getting locked up. You getting killed. You getting shot. You getting stabbed. You putting your family, making your family worry for you. And then when something happens to you, what you doing? You going to start a GoFundMe. All of this debauchery you talking about, all this killing, the shooting, all this stuff, you don't even got life insurance. I mean, our whole thing is messed. Our whole thought process is all over the place when it comes to that. But there definitely has to be a mandatory minimum when someone carries a gun, a defaced gun, and is caught with them on their person. A mandatory minimum, and it needs to be a mandatory minimum of anyone who fires a gun indiscriminately in public, in club, I don't care where it's at, there needs to be a mandatory minimum with that. There's nothing wrong with self-defense, but everything outside of that, because there's cases of people, like there was a case in Queens where a young man was killed. He had shot at another guy, right? The other guy, I think he was an ex-con too. Both of them was ex-cons. He shot at the other guy. The other guy went to get his gun, ran to his car to get his gun, started shooting back at the other guy, and he killed the guy, and he got off for the murder rap, right? So they do show that, yeah, you know what? Even though this, I think he got charged with the gun, but he didn't get charged with the murder. But they can show a difference on depending on what the situation is on a case-by-case basis. But for those situations that I mentioned, absolutely not. There's nothing, there's no laws out there to deter people from committing violent actions with firearms. There's absolutely nothing, right? Now, I want to show this next video of the NYPD sending off Officer Dilla with dignity and respect. And that's one thing that I salute the NYPD for. When one of their own get hurt, injured, murdered, they are there like a true family. I don't see that I definitely don't see that with transit workers. You know, I attempted that when a conductor had got killed by being shot in her head. I brought out the honor guard for that and organized that. But I love the way that they show support for one another when things go down the way that they go down. And that's what a real working family look like, because a lot of us who work for city agencies, the truth is that we spend more time with our coworkers than we do with our actual loved ones at home. And I'm talking about time as far as talking, as far as building, as far as getting to know one another. Most of the time when we come home, we only up for a couple of hours to talk to our loved ones, and then we go to sleep to start it all over again. So a lot of our coworkers and these jobs become our family, and we see that within NYPD. I give that to them. I'm going to show y'all this video. I didn't put no sound because I did not want to get flagged on YouTube, so it would not have no sound. But you see the visual clearly on how they are honoring their brother, Officer Dilla. Check it out. if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it, with dignity and respect. And I'm quite sure these officers prefer not to, hold on, I'm quite sure these officers prefer not to organize themselves in this form of fashion. But if they were, that's the way to do it, right? I mean, just think about what his wife is going to go through now as a single widow raising their son. You know, and one thing I hear about NYPD is that, you know, they stick together even after an officer passes. They check on the kids often. They provide for the family often. They are not forgotten about. They are not forgotten about, right? So I definitely expect NYPD to see it through, that that family will be all right. There's no question about that. There's absolutely no question about that. NYPD is definitely going to do the right thing. But as a city, we have to do better. We this violence is out of control. To our elected leaders, we have to stop pointing fingers and start taking accountability. We have to start taking accountability. There's absolutely no accountability in this city. Everyone is pointing fingers. Everyone is pointing fingers. Everybody thinking about their next political move instead of doing what the right thing is. Everybody's choosing political tribalism. Oh, Democrats hate the Republicans. Republicans hate the Democrats. Democrats and Republicans both hate the independents. That's what we're dealing with right now in New York City. We're dealing with that right now. And it reminds me of the scene in the movie White Men Can't Jump, when they were playing in the park and a guy, I think his name was Raymond, when he figured out he was being hustled, and he told Wesley Snipes and what's his name, Woody Harrelson, I think. He told them, nah, both of y'all go get it. That's how we got to hold our politicians accountable. We have to stop pointing the fingers too, and we have to think they are all for one and one for all. They all took an oath to serve this city. We don't want to care. We don't care about the politics. We care about results. We want results. We don't want finger pointing, right? And we must start holding them accountable in between elections. At the polls is not the only place that we can hold them accountable. We can hold them accountable in between elections, right? And it seems like this is a problem not only in governmental politics. This is a problem in unions. You know, in the transit union, we see this all the time. People are afraid to speak up because of their own personal interests that may be at stake after they speak up. All of them is thinking about themselves. Then they try to disguise it. You know, yeah, every single last one of them, they're there for the members, right? They're there for the members. If you're there for the members, how can you not have an opinion on anything that's going on right now? How does that happen? There's no backbone in politics. Everybody want to act like that they stand up individuals until it's time for them to stand up and they're sitting down. This is an epidemic in our government, national and local politics, including unions. This is a fact. Not every union, but definitely TWU Local 100. It's all over the place. It's all over the place. So my condolences once again to the family of Officer Dilla, his wife, his young son, to his coworkers, who I'm quite sure seen him as a brother, and I'm quite sure he's seen him as a sister. Sisters, condolences to you guys. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I don't even know how you could go out there after experiencing something like that and continue to do the job the right way the right way. I know it's hard. I know it's hard, you know, for the officers who are in that group of other officers. How do you do your job after that? Every time I approach a car, I would be thinking the worst because of what just happened to my coworkers. But for you guys to do the job with dignity and respect and fearless, I salute you guys. And like I said, I don't want to sound like a cop-pologist. I'm not a cop-pologist. I don't agree with a whole bunch that the NYPD does. But I don't believe in good cop, bad cop. I believe in good people, bad people. And you have good people in NYPD and you have bad people in NYPD. It has nothing to do. Now, probably the uniform amplify who they really are, who some of these people really are. I'm quite sure that happens. But there's more good people in this world than bad people. Believe that. And that's not only exclusive to the NYPD. That's exclusive to every agency out here. You have good people, you have bad people, and it's the end of that. But we have to try to figure out a way for the good cops with integrity, for the good people with integrity, to call out all the bad stuff that's happening within the ranks, right? Because everybody talk about, oh, you know, no snitching, no snitching, no snitching, right? The police officers want you to tell. They give incentives for you to tell. But you want to know what? There is absolutely no incentives for police to point out corruption within their department. The only thing they get is being blackballed, being fired, being denied vacation, days off, undesirable tours, and things of that nature. That's what they get, right? There's no incentive for police officers to tell the truth. None at all. They're above the laws. It's a fact. It's the truth, right? There's no incentive for a good person that's a cop to say, hey, I've seen this officer do this, without them facing the consequence of being labeled a snitch. But once again, the NYPD want people to snitch when things happen outside of them. But when it happens within the department, it's that big blue wall of silence, which I don't get. I mean, I get it, but there needs to be more integrity, right? But what I'd like to say, once again, RIP to Officer Jonathan Diller. Condolences to the family. Once again, I need for everybody watching this live to please hit the like button. It costs you nothing. For everyone who's watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. Please subscribe to the channel so you guys will not miss what's going on. And please hit the notification bell. And if you really support us, you can support via Cash App, $ Progressive Action 100. You can join the YouTube channel for 99 cents. If you're watching via Twitter, you can hit the Cash App also. If you're watching via Instagram, you can watch the you can hit the Cash App. If you're watching on Facebook, you can hit the Cash App, or you can send us in stars. I catch you guys later. Let's be safe. Let's be safe. Let's continue to have our lives guided with integrity, truth, and transparency. And I'll catch you guys later. Peace.